Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour for March 7th, 2019. And a couple topics tonight dealing with, well, I hate to even waste my showtime on this, but it's necessary. 50th anniversary of NASA's alleged moon landing. But anyway, then I'll be talking about the tornadoes in Alabama. There's a joker running around the internet, and I'm not sure quite where he gets his salary from, let's put it that way. But his name is, I think, Schellinger, and he's claiming, first of all, truly, that alternative energy does not work. But see, this was the plan all along, and now he's complying with the GE Siemens plan that when it finally becomes evidence to everybody that alternative energy, which amounts to three-blade wind generators, turbines, and solar, when it finally comes to light that these are ecological disasters, that they don't work, then they're going to say the solution is nuclear, which is GE's core business, or big power plants, etc. So I'll be talking about that. And then also give some honorable mention here to the James Webb Telescope, which is it was started in 1997. The project began. The original launch date was supposed to be 2007, and it's been delayed and delayed, and now the expected launch date is in 2021. Anyway, I'll be talking, if I have time at the end, I'll be talking about that. But it's really unfortunate. It's getting to the point where I spend much of my time on this show debunking the goofiness that's going on out there, because you people are getting barraged, literally barraged, with this insatiable amount of baloney. And so let me just, I'm going to try and spend a minimal amount of time on this NASA 50th anniversary baloney. And but this is what happened. I got an email from a listener this past week and said, Mr. McCanny, you won't believe this, but YouTube has scrubbed any YouTube videos that were saying that NASA didn't go to the moon. They simply went in and surgically removed them, and this has happened like overnight, and replaced them with rah-rah, zis, boom-bah NASA videos, all new, promoting that they went to the moon and they're going to go back to the moon, and they're, you know, they're just on the track of doing all this stuff. And I knew it was going to be bad, but I did not think, I never in my wildest dreams imagined that they would get YouTube to scrub all these hundreds, if not thousands, of videos. And anyway, it's replaced. Now, here's the thing. And a lot of people have done good research questioning whether NASA went to the moon, raising questions. That's pretty much it. In my particular stance is, if you look at my webpage, I have an official statement on my webpage saying that NASA has made a scientific claim, and it's an unverified scientific claim, because in science you need third-party independent verification. There never has been any regarding the moon landing claim of NASA, and so the end result is that it's an unverified scientific claim. And NASA itself cannot verify itself. But these videos are just making statements that, yeah, NASA went to the moon and all this stuff. And then they go in, and this is the twist. And now, oh, a number of years ago, it happened. I started criticizing the 2012ers. And that the, you know, the 2012, the world was going to end, the Mayan calendar, all of that stuff. And I criticized that, and I said that this was like the flat earth from the Middle Ages. And I also likened it to the fact that they wanted to create these scare tactics to prevent the common man today from going into outer space. And I likened it to the flat earth society, or the flat earth teachings of the basically the Roman Catholic Church in the Middle Ages. And it had a point. The point was that it would put fear in the hearts and minds of young people so they wouldn't build a ship and go sailing off to find their dreams. And that's what it was. It was a mental prison. And so there is a current modern mental prison to keep young people from going into space. The space shuttle, I talked about this last week, the Challenger space shuttle accident, I am 100% convinced, was exactly that. So that all the kids would see this, because the teacher program that NASA had, and they see their teacher blown up in front of their face, and that sent a solid message to kids that don't try to go into outer space. Back to the point that I had been making using the analogy of flat earthers was that it was a hoax presented in the Middle Ages to mentally keep people in prison. So anyway, NASA picked up on this, and the CIA, who owns NASA and controls NASA, because NASA is a front agency. NASA, there's nothing real about NASA. They do some research there. If you strained, you could point a finger and say they've done some good things, which I don't think they've had. They've literally wasted 50 years of a lot of money and a lot of talent marching down the wrong road, and they now have nothing. But here's the point. NASA is saying that the people that started the NASA did not go to the moon stories were flat earthers. So now, if you say that NASA didn't go to the moon, they're going to throw you in the bin with the flat earthers. That's the ploy that they're taking. So I just want you to know the bizarreness of this. And of course, that's not the case at all. In fact, this whole thing began with a guy named, Kiesing, who was literally an employee of Rocketdyne and had high-level security clearance in the space program. And he came out and said it was a hoax. This is an insider. And then, of course, other people picked up on it. Ralph Rene, and just the laundry list of other people who've taken this. And my tack is that none of that is concrete evidence that NASA did not go to the moon. It's just questions. It calls into questions many of the idiosyncrasies of the standard story. At any rate, the reason I'm mentioning this is because I'm amazed that NASA went to the lengths of scrubbing anything on YouTube that was anti-NASA. And so the other point is that I'm sure they're going to be going into the schools full force between now and July, the summer when the alleged Apollo landings occurred in 1969. They're going to be going into the schools pounding on these kids that NASA went to the moon, and don't believe those people out there who would tell you differently. So anyway, they're basically fabricating a story that they're going to just administer to the schools, and the schools are going to all be jumping up and down because the schools are liberal centers that would be ripe for the picking. And anyway, I'm very, at this point in my professional career, very anti-school, in other words, public schools and even private schools who are forced by law to comply with state standards. In other words, they have to use the same textbooks, they have to pass the same exams, and therefore they have to learn the same baloney. And I've said this in public, that 95% of what they teach in grade school, high school, and college, and including a lot of things in grad school, could not possibly be true. Simply could not possibly be true. Anyway, I'm just amazed at that. Okay, on to just a quick mention about the tornadoes in Alabama. Many people don't understand that February is the biggest tornado month of the year. And of course, there's no standard scientific explanation for this. Understand that energy phenomena just don't happen by themselves. There's a reason, there's a source of energy, there's a reason why February is the biggest, even greater than August, which is the biggest summertime month for tornadoes and hurricanes and auroras and other types severe weather activity that August we typically think of because of thunderstorms, etc. But February is not known as a time when there's a lot of thunderstorms. So why would February be a tornado month? Well, it turns out that there's two return current sheets in the solar system, and they are diametrically opposed. One is in the month of February, where Earth passes through that region of the solar system, and the other month is August. So anyway, that's why February also can be, well, I just reported on this, that NASA and the standard scientists are bewildered at why there should be such tremendous auroras in February when there's no solar activity that would cause it. And like I say, even they realize that you need energy, you need high energy particles to create auroras, but the sun is not putting any out. There's no connection to the sun relative to that. And so the real reason is because we are in this return current sheet in the month of February. And so it's not unusual for February. The last previous deadly storm system was in Oklahoma. I forget, about 10 years ago. I don't remember the exact date. But February is a very destructive month for tornadoes. And my heart goes out to the people in Alabama. As I read the stories, I'm just like, I mean, these people in Alabama also, they don't have basements. They don't have places underground where they can go to typically. And everything is like a cement slab and then built up from there. So, just devastating to these people. Everything they have plus is gone, plus the loved ones dead. And a lot of people injured, just their entire lives destroyed. This tornado ran for 24 miles on the ground, 170 mile per hour winds. And I also wanted to mention that there's an old wives' tale, which is not really a wives' tale, that the trailer houses are like a magnet for tornadoes, because you always hear about trailer courts, groups and large groups of trailer homes being hit by tornadoes. And this is down in Florida also, especially during the hurricane season. You have a lot of tornadic activity on the leading edge of the hurricane. And those tornadoes sweep inland and a lot of times hit trailer courts. The reason for that is there is a scientific reason, and that is because what do you have? You have an aluminum box out there that is basically an antenna, a very good antenna, and it's grounded. So you have these metal structures sitting above the ground, and they literally attract the electrical discharge, which is driving the tornado. So yes, there is a physical scientific reason for why trailer courts or even trailer houses sitting out in the middle of nowhere will attract a tornado, because it's that metal above ground and the electrical currents seek that. The electrical currents pass up through the trailer court and then literally attract electrically the discharge that is driving the tornadoes. So once again, if you can, if there are donation areas, etc., for those poor people down there, and typically these are just down-home people just trying to make a living and doing the best they can, and they just got their lives ripped apart. So if you can, send something to them, to help them get back together. Anyway, that's all I can say. Horrific, horrific event. And the other thing, back in the 90s, I developed techniques for controlling hurricanes and moving hurricanes, etc. And it's possible to manage hurricanes and move them out of harm's way, etc., although my work has been obfuscated and it's been taken over. And basically, they've used those same techniques to drive hurricanes into populated areas. The nefarious, basically very sick people that run the deep state, etc. But I wanted to mention that tornadoes, there is no way to physically control tornadoes. If you try to do something, in the case of hurricanes, you try to short them out. But the problem with tornadoes is that if you try and short them out, you actually make them more powerful. And the issue with hurricanes is that they are above water. And so what happens, they have an electrical current path from the ionized air above the water up the column, etc. And when they hit land, the leading edge, that's why you have all the tornadoes on the leading edge, because those the hurricane is discharging to ground, to the coastline, and that's where the tornadoes form. And so what you want to do is short-circuit that hurricane offshore, and that's what the idea that I had. You put grounded buoys with weather balloons offshore so that they short out the hurricane before it arrives at shore. And so then those tornadoes are above water, and they will basically dissipate. And so it's a way of shutting down the leading edge tornadoes and the hurricane because it's over water, but the tornadoes are over land. They're already connected to the ground. So if you try and do anything as far as grounding, it's just going to increase the power in the tornado. So there's really no way to control tornadoes once they get going. I remember a few years ago, there were like 70 tornadoes racing across Oklahoma. Tremendous destructive capacity, and in the month of February also. Okay, so now I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the following topic. This is complicated, so just fasten your seatbelt a little bit. Back in 2004, when I started my work with the developing the wing generator and all of that, this began because I had been kind of dabbling in this field of wind generators and how to extract energy from the environment, from the wind, etc. And I did an energy study for a private company, basically in coordination with a private company, on Xcel Energy, this up in the Midwest, overall energy budget. And this includes, from a physics point of view, the energy wasted, the energy lost in terms of heat, how much energy actually arrives at the end user, etc. And that's where I realized that the three-blade wind turbines and solar panels would not work. They would not solve our energy problem in any shape or form. And I wrote a report. I was on radio shows. I was on Coast to Coast AM back in that time frame, 2004 or 2005, with the topic that I had posted there, The Myth of Alternative Energy, where I explained that due to my findings that, the first of all, the three-blade wind turbines don't work for a whole multitude of reasons, and they have no payback. So it's a product that really should have never occurred, but it did because of jumping up and down GE, Siemens, getting government subsidies and getting stupid politicians to throw money. Obama put $150 billion, with a B, into wind turbine technology. All that money was lost. They don't know where it went. Hillary Clinton was going to put 50 million solar panels in the United States as part of her platform. And of course, that was all kickback money from the solar panel companies. Those don't work. China, last April, put a moratorium on solar panels. China is the biggest installation country in terms of solar panels. They were purchasing solar panels from Europe, from the United States, from other countries, and from their own manufacturers in China. But what they realized is that solar does not work, that it only works when the sun is shining, and you cannot purchase batteries, enough batteries to store up power for when the sun is not shining. So it's simply grid connect. That means when the sun is shining, you're getting power into the grid. There's no way to store that power. And so if the clouds come out, all of a sudden that power level drops. And the more you install, the worse the problem gets, because the central power company that's using coal or nuclear or natural gas or the hydro plants cannot alter their energy output like in a couple of minutes when the clouds roll in. And so they would get high-level bursts of energy when the sun would come out, and then they would get brownouts, which is lack of proper energy on the grid. So the way the grids are designed around the world, where the central power company controls the voltage, maintains the voltage, alternative energy does not work. Australia this past year had tremendous problems with surges on a day when there was a lot of wind. Australia put in a lot of wind power. The same thing happened, that on a day when there was too much wind, they would blow out all of the electrical equipment of the users, of the end users, and on a day when there was not enough wind, they would not have enough energy, and the brownouts would ruin the equipment. So they had a big problem. Elon Musk went over there and established a battery bank, but still, this is not a final solution. I'll go into a little more detail here, but the point is that in 2004, I recognized that three-blade wind turbines and solar panels would never solve our world energy problem. So ultimately, in 2009, 10 years ago literally, I published my book, Mekani Wing Generator World Energy Project. And in that book, there's a chapter, The Myth of Alternative Energy, in which I predicted everything that's happening today with the wind and solar, that these would not be viable solutions, and that they would first eat up all of the alternative energy money from governments, from installations, from private enterprise, from individuals, and then only then would people realize that this stuff doesn't work. It does not work. It's not in the one question when I designed the wing generator. The one question I had to answer for myself in the design work was, will this solve the world energy problem? And that's why the wing generator will. But it's a hard act to follow alternative energy that was designed to fail. Now, it would be like going to vaudeville to an on-stage act. And the previous act was horrific, and the people were throwing tomatoes and lettuce at the person on the stage. And now you have to come out. The people already have the tomatoes in their hands ready to throw. And if you have even a really good act, they're still there ready to, they're having a good time throwing the tomatoes. And so follow up to a to the horrifically bad three-blade wind turbines and solar panels. They have basically, there's lawsuits in Europe over these. The Canadians have web pages and organizations against wind, installing more wind. They've been ripped off royally, where the Canadian government installed a lot of wind generators that don't work. The Canadians were promised cheap energy, and now they're paying a horrific price. They're paying $1 million a year for those wind towers that don't work. So the Canadian electric bills are going through the roof, and they're mad as can be. But in the United States, there's right now close to 100,000 of those three-blade wind towers out there, and they don't work. If you take the amount of nameplate energy that they're supposed to produce, those 100,000 wind towers, that's enough energy to power the United States electrically. But never has a single power plant closed because of three-blade wind turbines or from solar or from any other form of so-called alternative energy. And so anyway, I'm coming along with the wing generator. And anyway, I'll talk about that in a few minutes because it is a true solution. But here's the point. Now that the public is finally waking up, and the reason that I kind of got clued to this, that it's becoming mainstream, is that Tucker Carlson, one of my actually favorite commentators on Fox News, a pretty bright guy, pretty astute, had a joker on there whose name was Schellinger, who's going around saying that number one, alternative energy didn't work, so now we got to go back to nuclear. Well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, Tucker Carlson is not a scientist. He's not an engineer. He doesn't know the nuclear industry or the power industry like I do. But anyway, he kind of bought this Schellinger's guy's story, hook, line, and sinker. But what I'm telling you is that is exactly the game plan of General Electric and Siemens. First of all, let's look at General Electric and Siemens. Siemens from Germany, General Electric from the United States. Their core business is big generators for the central power companies. That's their core business, and nuclear power plants, etc. The same with Siemens. That's their core business. They're from Europe, and they both have wind energy, little kind of side industries that they've been supporting. And they're the ones that are in charge of the American Wind Energy Association or the Canadian. They're sitting on the boards of these associations. And, of course, their goal is to get a lot of government subsidies. But the real goal is to never compete with their core business. So they have products that simply do not work. And when the realization comes along after they've eaten up all of the government subsidy money, the governments are now tired of subsidizing these alternative energy projects that don't work. So they've withheld they've canceled any subsidies. People have become tremendously wealthy, like Buffett down there in the American Southwest has become extremely wealthy because of government subsidies. He just put in tens of thousands of wind towers, of wind turbines, and reaped this tremendous amount of income. In fact, he doubled, he's one of the richest men in America, he doubled his income in a couple years because of government subsidies on these useless wind turbines. Okay, so now, after the public is finally waking up, and like I see it, they say this is like seeing a deck of hand or of cards coming out of a well-stacked deck of cards. This is the next card to come down on the table. It's like, oh, darn, all this alternative energy stuff isn't working. We really got to go back to GE and their core business. And this is what I told you would happen in 2009. In fact, when I was on radio shows in 2004, 2005 time frame, telling about the myth of alternative energy, that's what I said. This is the plan, that after they sucked all the money out of the private sector and the public sector and every place that has money and all of this fervor over, Google Eyes Cortez saying we got to have all this, you know, alternative energy, not realizing that it's a boondoggle. And, you know, so the government, they can jump up and down and it looks good. And all the green people, they all look at those wind towers sitting out there, not realizing they just got rooped big time. Okay. And so now this guy is going, nuclear power is clean. By goodness, it doesn't emit anything into the environment. Now he's quoting and saying that 100 million people or millions of people have died from disease or offshoots of traditional energy in the form of coal or natural gas where they burn something, claiming that nuclear is really safe. And he shows it, he compares it to France that gets 90 or probably 70% of its electricity from nuclear power, and tries to compare the United States with that. And so let me just go through the fallacy of this joker's logic, if you want to call it that. I don't know who's paying this guy. I mean, somebody's paying his salary, and he gets to talk at TED Talks. Whenever I see somebody at a TED Talk, they're typically rah-rah global warming, and every other word is about how we got to save the planet because of global warming. And I told you last week that the problem with the global warming people is that they don't concentrate on the real issues. They don't understand, for example, that a nuclear power plant, 80% of the heat generated to create the electricity goes up into the atmosphere right now. You don't have to wait 20 years for a little greenhouse effect on some carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And yes, nuclear power plants do have a carbon footprint. They very much do. But let's look at the procurement of uranium. This is an international disaster in itself. Uranium is typically not found in deposits. It's sprinkled all over the place. So you have to destroy ecologically huge, huge areas. Then you have to take it to a processing plant. That's what you call yellow cake in the nuclear industry. That's the very low-grade uranium. And then it has to be processed. Now, if you want to talk to somebody about uranium pollution, talk to the people in St. Louis, Missouri, where during World War II and thereafter they processed uranium. How about up at the in Oregon, in Washington State, or down around Los Angeles, where they had nuclear processing plants? Horrifically polluting. Just the procurement of uranium is horrifically polluting. And so, I mean, and this joker, to come up on stage and say nuclear is so clean it doesn't put anything into the environment. What a complete idiot. So let me give you the little rundown on the United States relative to nuclear power. The United States has approximately, last count, 104 nuclear power plants. They're all leaking. They are all over their licensed lifetime, commissioned lifetime, all of them. There has not been a nuclear power plant built in the United States. The newer ones have shut down. For example, the San Onofre. 5 years of useful life and it shut down. There's still, you know, billions and billions of dollars to decommission that facility. But the literally, and now let me just step back for a second. My advanced physics degree is in nuclear and solid state physics, so it's something I know something about. I also know that the majority of people in nuclear physics are rah-rah, zizz-boom-bah, nuclear is great kind of people. We have no place in this country to store nuclear waste. The nuclear waste is being stored around the nuclear power plants because the new version of nuclear fuel that they're running, a lot of it is reprocessed from nuclear warheads. So it's what you might call high-octane fuel. And these nuclear power plants were never designed to burn that. The problem with the new fuel being burned in nuclear power plants is you have to cool it down forever, because the original fuel you could just leave in a metal canister, but the new fuel you have to cool down. So an ever-increasing amount of energy from the nuclear power plant goes into cooling down the spent fuel. That's why they had them on the roof of the Fukushima Daiichi plants, to keep them cooled down. And they had them on the roof. And so when the plants were blown up and went China syndrome, all of those fuel rods went into the environment. And this guy, this clown, is trying to tell you that Fukushima, only a couple people died there. No, all of Japan has been completely polluted with nuclear waste. This has gone into the Pacific Ocean. It's responsible for the destruction of the Great Barrier Reef all the way over to Australia. So to somehow say, stand up on a stage and say nuclear is clean and it doesn't put anything into the environment is insanity. Like I say, who's paying this guy's freight? We don't have any new nuclear power plants on the drawing boards. I bet you GE is just slobbering at the mouth to try and get nuclear back in the United States. They compare it to France. Only 20%, less than 20% of our electric energy comes from nuclear. The vast majority is from coal, and that's been shifting recently to natural gas, which comes from fracking. The cheap natural gas is due to fracking, but that's going to run out in about 2 or 3 years. Then the price of natural gas is going to go through the ceiling, and so will your electric bills. And there's no way back. There's no way these power plants are going to be able to afford to convert back to coal that they're shutting down. A lot of coal plants are being shut down, but only 20% of our electric in the United States comes from nuclear power plants. And there's no way, McGee, there's no way that that you can increase the output of these nuclear plants to somehow absorb the other 80% that comes from coal and natural gas in the United States. It's just not possible. So even if nuclear was a good idea, there's no way in the short term or the long term to create a nuclear fleet that's going to power the United States. And the idea that it's somehow clean energy is incorrect. Some people talk about thorium as a source of energy for clean. No, anything. Let me just put it this way. Any high energy content fuel. People talk about fusion, where you take hydrogen, which is plentiful. It's a component of water, which is plentiful. If you found a way to commercially, viably produce fusion as a source of energy, it's still bad because it is a heat. You're converting heat. And by the natural Carnot cycle, you're going to get, by the time you get done converting the heat into electricity and shipping that, you're going to be at about 25% efficiency. 75% of that energy, no matter what it's from, is going to go off as heat into the environment right now. And so none of the high energy content fuels, including fusion, including thorium, including nuclear, none of them are clean. They're highly polluting. Highly polluting. Anything where you have something burning, that's why the wing generator can be so efficient, because it only has to produce 25% of the energy that is produced from nuclear, coal, etc. This whole thing is playing into the long-term plan of General Electric. And so the whole plan was that eventually, when people finally figure out that, no, this alternative energy stuff doesn't work, then the solution, oh, well, doggone, we just got to go back to good old GE. And look at, GE is going bankrupt. GE is going out of business. So they're desperate to try and find a way to get back to their core business, which is centralized power companies. This clown Schellinger also degrades wind and solar by saying they're low-density energy. It's not true. It's just that solar panels are only 20% efficient. In other words, if you cover a big field with solar panels, only 20% of the sunlight hitting those solar panels is converted into usable energy. Then you have conversion, then you have it transmitted. Very, very inefficient. And that's why the wing generator, if you look at three-blade wind turbines, on the other hand, they're extremely inefficient. They're running at an industry-specified standard. This is for the ones that are actually operating at around 20%. If you look at the overall fleet of 100,000 wind turbines, 14,000 of which are defunct because they're mechanically inoperable and cannot be or will not be fixed. You're running at around 5 to 10% efficiency on those, if even that. And so it's clear that the three-blade wind turbine and the solar panels simply can't work because they're very inefficient. And there again, that's where the wing generator comes in, which works from low to very high wind speeds, and it's very efficient at extracting energy from the wind. So this clown, Schellinger, tries to tell you that wind is a very diffuse energy source. It's really not true. It's just that if you take three-blade wind turbines, yeah, they don't work. They don't work. And if you're really just not very scientific, just look at it this way. 95% of the wind that's blowing through that region of the wind turbine, the three-blade wind turbine, 95% of the wind blows through there without ever touching anything. How can that extract energy from the wind? Propellers are not reversible. You know, we get this idea that you put a propeller on something, that's to drive an airplane, for example. But a propeller is not a reversible. In physics, there are many things that are not reversible. Anyway, the whole project here from the very beginning was to have solar and three-blade wind turbines eat up the entire commodity of money. And then when it finally comes out that they don't work, then you got to go back to GE's core business. That is what this joker is doing. So like I say, I don't know who's paying his freight, who's paying this guy's, you know, and of course, he gets a lot of airtime. He gets to be on Tucker Carlson tonight. And Tucker Carlson is, you know, bright guy, but not very bright about energy. Anyway, I'm just telling you, this is part of the ongoing, and it's a globalist issue because these major corporations don't exist in a vacuum. They are coordinated for warfare, for this alternative energy hoax, the myth of alternative energy. And the people who are in power get their power from the energy industry, keeping you out there strapped to these humongous energy bills is part of their plan. For example, let's just take your automobile and car. Those are your two biggest expenses and in your life. So the cost of housing is probably five times what it should be. Most of that cost is because of energy, the energy of production of goods, energy of transport of goods, energy of say, bringing raw materials from the rural regions into the cities to be processed. Your house should cost, a $300,000 house is probably the medium three to four, let's just say $300,000 house, should cost you around $50,000, and you should be able to pay for that in about a 4 or 5 year period of time. But no, 30 years, you have to work 30 years to pay off your house. This is because of the high cost of energy primarily. And that's the plan. Your automobile, gas guzzling, complicated, will last around 5 or 6 years before you got to buy a new one, a tremendous amount of maintenance, etc. And you can't go to electric. You can, but guess what? You're going to be burning electricity that's generated in a coal or nuclear or gas-fired power plant. And ecologically, you would be far better off just putting the gasoline or diesel into your car and burning it there. That's far more efficient, far less polluting than driving an electric car that gets its energy from the coal or the nuclear or the natural gas power plant. Terribly inefficient. So once again, I'm just telling you this is coming down the road because it's finally come full circle, and it happened in the past short while. Let's put it that way. So now you're going to be barraged in the public media with, hey, everybody, guess what? This alternative energy stuff doesn't work. And the solution is going to be pointing back to guess who? General Electric, Siemens, etc. And they're going to still have their clowns out there, the liberals in Congress or local governments, etc., thinking that they're going to promote green energy when it's not. And like I say, with the wing generator, I have a very hard act to follow because everybody now is becoming totally convinced that alternative energy is a failure. But the only benefit is that the power companies are all going to go bankrupt in the next couple of years. So if you're on the grid somewhere, any place in the United States, look at your electric bill today, and in 2 years, it will be double or triple. of what it is today, because the power companies, all of these nuclear power plants are going to have to shut down. They cannot keep them running. They're polluting. They're all leaking radioactive water into the environment. And at some point, they're going to have to shut them down. The power companies do not have the money to decommission these. They were supposed to have been saving this money, but of course they did not. And so the situation with electric in the United States is very dire. And just a quick comment about France. It seems that France is skating away to the winning, to the finish line to win, because allegedly they get their power from nuclear power. Germany, on the other hand, has shut down all their nuclear power plants. They're getting out of nuclear right up front. And interestingly enough, Germany has a lawsuit against Siemens for rigging politicians, for kickbacks to politicians all over the world to install Siemens three-blade wind turbines. And that goes along with General Electric. But interestingly enough, when I interviewed Charles Ortel on the Power Hour, this was about a year ago, I was the host, the substitute host on the Power Hour with Daniel Brigman. I was the host there, and I had as my guest Charles Ortel. And he explained that he had been hired by Germany to investigate the Clinton Foundation because the Siemens kickbacks were going through the Clinton Foundation to these foreign governments. That was the chain of money. And, of course, the Clinton Foundation didn't do that for free. They got their cut, too. So when Hillary stepped out on the stage and raised her hand and said, we're going to install 50 million solar panels in this country, thank goodness they didn't do that. But you better believe that the Clinton Foundation was going to get some serious kickback money for her pulling that one off. Anyway, and of course, the end conclusion after they installed those, like Obama, $150 billion in wind investment, which went no place. It went into the pockets of many people. Okay, so I'm trying to give you a synopsis and ask yourself this. You know, I hate to waste my showtime talking about these topics, but ask yourself this. Where else on this planet are you going to get this information? And the answer is no place. No place. Nobody else is going to give you this in-depth analysis. And I've been tracking these things for years. I've been watching these. I predicted these because I know what's going on. Anyway, just a quick mention. I talked about the James Webb Space Telescope, infrared telescope that is 5 times bigger surface area than the Hubble Space Telescope. But here's the problem with any of these. I don't care if it's delayed or whatever. When it gets out into space, it's going to be the tier two science that's going to come to you, the public, will be about the Big Bang. Oh, the Big Bang this and the Big Bang that. That's all it's going to be. So literally, as a public paying for this immensely expensive telescope, you are going to get nothing but baloney. And I can tell you for sure that the Tier 1 scientists will be the premier users of these of the James Webb Telescope facility, and they know 100% for sure, 100% sure that there is no such thing as a Big Bang. That's for you, the public. That's for the idiots, the geeks, the NASA Trekkies, we call them. Or the college textbook repeaters to repeat, and that'll be, you know, what you, the public, get from the James Webb Space Telescope. You're not going to get the real information. That information goes up the ladder to the people who believe that outer space is their private realm, the European bankers. Just like when they invaded the Incas and the Mayans and the Aztecs back in the Middle Ages, the 1500s, and took all their gold, they considered that to be theirs. They weren't stealing, they were just taking what they figured was theirs in the first place. They don't consider any value for you. And I've recently heard some basically what they were teaching kids of some of these people, that the you, the public, are literally have no value, that you are expendable at their particular will, and they can use you in a sense as entertainment. So wars or mass shootings or mass genocide of some kind is actually entertainment for these people. So anyway, just this is just to give you an idea. But this, in science, science is tiered for a reason, so that you, the public, are given basically garbage science. And the tier one scientists, the people that I've seen, many people that I knew in science, and you could tell who the good ones were. They were plucked out, and you just didn't see them anymore. Those are the people that went up to a tier level, and you never see them anymore, the tier one level. And basically, they're doing science, but see, they're trapped. Those people have no voice. They don't have a personality. Everything they do is owned and basically controlled. And if they ever step out of line, they're finished. They know that they had to sign agreements. Typically, they did that when they were young and foolish, and they thought, oh, good, I'm being brought up into this scientific arena, never understanding the evil that they're actually working for. Okay, well, a couple of minutes, I want to talk a little bit about the topics I'm covering in my paid cast. So if you're not a member of my paid cast, $3.95 per month for an extra, every week, an extra hour of deep dive into scientific topics. But last month, I talked about my book, The Diamond Principle. Now, this is something that's really important to understand where we sit as society today relative to science and outer space. And it's very clear that as a society, in Western society, Western society is not tuned at all to the requirements of going into outer space. China is. So anyway, those lectures last month, very important on those and related topics, and how we fit into this overall plan of the universe. I also dispel the myth of atheist science. Now, that's another thing you have to understand. If you are, for example, if you are a Christian, a true Christian today, and you believe in the Creator, you believe that you have a soul, that you have a part of your being is your soul. You have your physical body, but then you have your spirit, which is in working in coordination with your body. And a lot of times they are disparaging. They're apart. You're different than a dog or a cat. Who, there's a song that came out. Now, I want to point this out. It was very aggravating. There's a song that's popular on the radio. I don't know when it came out. But it basically says the following. It says, we are like mammals, so let's do it like they do on Discovery TV, or something like that. The message coming out of Hollywood and music and rap music, etc., is basically what Carl Sagan said in his Cosmos series, that you are just a little bit smarter monkey than those ones out there in the jungle yet. And, this is the message of atheist science, that, and this is the whole idea of the Big Bang, that you don't need God, you don't need a designer, that all of this just happened. All of the coordination that you see in the universe just happened by random. It was just a statistical chance. And so you have Carl Sagan in the Cosmos series, TV series, standing on a big the map of the universe, or the calendar of the universe. And he starts walking where the Big Bang was, and then he walks all the way up in the last minute is where human beings evolve and just pop out of all of this. I mean, the amount of hand-waving here is ridiculous. There is no, literally no evidence for anything this guy is saying. But what they're doing is they're promoting atheist science on the public. And my book, The Diamond Principle, for example, goes into detail about how there is a grand design, and we're just discovering what that is. So, the carbon atoms on the far side of the universe act the same as they do here because there's a design here. There's a reason the things are working the way they're working. So anyway, I'm not going to repeat my paid cast lecture, but I would encourage you to go listen to these because there's a lot of really good information. This month, in March, I'm starting on the book Comets, which is, in a sense, part of the core of my electrical nature of the universe work. And so a comet is one of the things, one of the dozens of things that come out of my work relative to the electrical nature of the universe. So that's the topic for this week's paidcast and this month, month of March. Also, I want to remind you that my MR7 whole house water filters are on my webpage, on the sales page, and there's a healthy discount, free shipping to the 48 states. It's time to get your family onto a plan of having clean water in the house. And the biggest thing is when you get into the shower, you are showering in a chemical soup. And the whole house water filter clears that out, so you're showering in actually clean water. And it leaves the minerals go through, etc. Also, the new book release is there, Principles of Prime Numbers. And, all of my water filters are on sale. There's a nice, I believe it's 15% discount with free shipping to the 48 states for all my water filter products, the GF filter elements, etc. All of that on my webpage, jmccsci.com. So once again, two things here. There's the people in Alabama. If you can help them out somehow, by sending some aid relief, I don't know. I'm sure there are agencies set up that'll allow you to donate. And also a guy named Roger Stone. You can go to the Roger Stone. He's being attacked in the Mueller probe. They tried to set him up, and basically his crime against humanity is helping Trump become elected. And so he's in the fight of his life right now, basically being hijacked. And if you can contribute something there also, that would be a big help. I don't know the webpage offhand, but if you just search for it, I'm sure you will find it, the Roger Stone Legal Defense Fund. And for him and his wife and his family, really need help at this time. And he was a big help in helping this country out. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.